Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Welcome. Good morning and welcome to another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. I'm joined as always, not always, but lately always,
mostly
by my Fanny, female nanny, because I called you a manny.
Yeah, and then that's a man, because you thought I was keep watching a man that made me a manny.
Well, I mean, I've never been in a financial position to have a manny before.
You know, Fanny, not
whatever it is.
But you know, I'm not as much of a Fanny anymore now that you're working.
I know, but you do make sure I get lunch at work, so yeah. That's so important.
Yeah.
And then today you didn't defend me when I got called high maintenance at
no,
the office.
No, I supported that. I mean, but so, I said it's fine. I like high maintenance. I'm okay with it. I'd rather you be high maintenance than not say what you feel, you know?
Is that how people look at high maintenance?
Yeah.
Is people that are direct?
Yeah, my husband says I'm high maintenance.
That's for different reasons, Meredith. That's
right. You wear the same outfit every day. You're not high maintenance.
That's what I don't get. I think of high maintenance as in somebody that always wants like clothes and stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I'm just high maintenance because I'm never satisfied.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that high maintenance?
Yeah, that's a different type of high maintenance. So what's it like working? How are you doing?
You know, I'm still struggling.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
still
a couple
struggling.
Weeks in for everyone after a, maybe people are listening later on.
Yeah.
After a month and a half off.
2 months.
2 months off.
Of coronacation.
Yeah.
Chronication, I guess. But anyway, let's move on.
All right.
So what you got for us, Meredith?
Well, today we're going to talk about three questions you should ask yourself before spending money. But before we get into it, I do have a review.
So we're going to talk about three questions you should ask yourself before you spend any money,
mm-hmm.
whether that's money on technology, marketing, team, new building. It doesn't matter.
Anything for the business.
Anything. Well, even for your life, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
But
this can relate to a lot of different things, I think, not just dentistry, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll let you back to our review.
All right.
Because we're still getting them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Good. So if you guys have any free
time.
Because
I'm going to stop doing the podcast if we don't get reviews.
Okay. So if you guys have any free time, please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. So I'm new to listening to this podcast, and as a recent grad, I'm gaining a lot of knowledge over many different topics. I really love all of the actionable stuff T-Bone says, do, and the summary points made at the very end. Also, I really like all the personal finances stuff he talks about. Most dental podcasts only talk about dentistry and not how to manage your money. So keep it up and I'll continue to listen to your podcast. So I picked this before I knew we were going to talk more about money today. So that kind of worked out well.
Well, that's good. You know, I don't know why we don't ever get any negative reviews. I'm not inviting negative reviews.
Yeah, no.
But if you do have a negative review, I mean, I welcome it.
But if you want to leave a review that you also think T-Bone's high maintenance, that's fine.
But listen, but now that I think about it, why would somebody leave a negative review? They're not listening to the podcast. Somebody that's listening every week is finding it good.
Right. They're just going to stop listening, so they're not going to know to leave a review.
I guess. Whatever. Whatever they say.
All right.
So what's going on with 3D Dentists?
Well, we are going to continue. The live streams through the coronacation have been a hit.
Yeah.
So we are going to continue those. I think with the craziness of everyone's everyday life, they enjoyed it and were able to not have to travel and that kind of thing. So we'll be able to live stream from our live courses going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I was forced to really pivot and come up with a new idea. I've always had a fear that if we did it live, that people, if we did a online version, that people wouldn't come to the live course.
Right.
But I'm convinced the people that would do it live, generally speaking, aren't the ones that would come to the live course anyway.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be able to spread our message to more people. It's good business. And I think it's moving to that direction in the future. So that's there. So let's get into the podcast for this week.
All right. So for the three questions you should ask yourself before spending money, I'll ask you the first question, T-Bone.
Why don't we go ahead and kind of go over all three questions? I'll tell you what, I'll go over all three questions so people know. Okay. So will the money I spend touch my customers? Will the money I spend on X improve efficiency that actually matters? And will the money I spend on X actually generate revenue? So those are the three questions that we're going to look at today. And we're going to have some different examples, talk through some things, some ideas that may come up, and kind of go from there. So,
okay. Well, let's get started on the first one.
Let's do that.
Will the money I spend touch my customers?
Well, I hope the money you spend does touch the customers. So, you know, what I'm thinking about something like that is, first and foremost, will your customers actually notice the difference?
Right.
You know, so let's think of something very simple. Okay. I want to paint my walls in my office a new color. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost, let's call it $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. What do you think it would cost to paint the office? Somewhere in that ballpark? $5,000, let's call it.
Yeah.
Would somebody notice that?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, that means it's touched the customer.
Especially if it was that brown color it was before we painted.
Hey, don't complain about the colors I picked versus the color Mona picked.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet.
So that's something that actually touches my customers in the sense that they notice that difference, you know. Then another thing about that is, will it benefit them? So now let's ask that. Is painting my walls actually going to benefit my patients?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? So, you know, so now we got to weigh that out. So is painting the wall something that I want to do, or is that something that actually is going to move my business?
That's just something you want to do.
In our particular case, because it's not like our walls are smoke colored or, you know, smoke filled or wallpaper that's peeling off or something like that, right? So maybe that's money that maybe I was intending to paint this year, but maybe that's something now I need to look at pushing off until maybe next year or in the future, because it's like buying a new car. Do I really need a new car right now?
Yeah.
No, the car I have works fine. So, you know, maybe
unless it's really dated.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So,
now we have a light gray.
Yeah, so it's totally cool.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to notice the difference.
Right.
I mean, people haven't even noticed a sneeze guard yet.
Everybody noticed the sneeze guards. They go around them, by the way.
Do they really? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Not sure what good they do, but.
You know, and another part of touching customers is, will it attract new patients?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or patients?
Directly.
Right. So, again, is painting a wall going to make maybe send a picture out there that I need to go to this office? It's not going to, right?
No.
Now let's substitute that in for some technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably the most common technology I get asked about is CEREC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll have you answer that question as a patient, Meredith. So would you notice the difference if I had a CEREC machine in my practice?
Yes.
Assuming I actually used it.
Right.
Right. If it just sat in the corner.
Because I would probably see somewhere in your marketing that you do crowns in one day.
Right.
And so, I've been going to a dentist for 10 years and I have to go back every time.
Right. So that might help us attract new patients.
Right.
And does that type of investment actually benefit the patient?
Yes.
Absolutely,
I only
right?
had to take one day off work.
Right. So it answers yes to the majority of those questions, right? And so now let's look at it as a team member. Mm-hmm. You know, because in our conversation around this, we were talking about how we would look at this, not because it started off as a conversation around technology.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, what about marketing? Or what about team members? Or what about renovations? Mm-hmm. And really, this, those questions apply across the board, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing. So now let's say, if I get a new team member, will my patients notice the difference?
Most likely, yes.
In a good or bad
unless,
way.
Yeah, unless, you know, you're named all the same. We had two Jessies, two Whitneys. It's like, are we even getting new people or are we just renaming people?
Would having more team members benefit the patient in our practice right now?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yes.
How?
Well, if like right now we're having to put off patients a little while because we're still catching up from...
Okay. So maybe having temp and a temp employee in this particular case may be beneficial. But I would argue that right now I don't see how a patient would benefit... From an extra person.
It depends who that, you know, if it's not a hygienist, then probably not.
Probably not, right? Right. If it's not a hygienist or a dentist to overdo, you know, to
take up. To
see more patients. So I would argue that right now it doesn't.
Right.
But then it's, will a new team member attract patients directly?
Depends how popular they are in the community.
Well, it depends what
procedures they have to offer.
Or even, let's say I hired a person that has a, let's say I hired a front office person that also has a marketing background.
Yeah.
Would that help me?
Or if they were Insta-famous.
Or they were Insta-famous.
Yeah, that would help.
That would help, right? Maybe not the type of help I want, but nonetheless, it would help, right? So these are some of the questions that I kind of put myself through when I say, will the money I spend on X actually touch my patients, okay, touch my customer? And will they notice a difference? Will it actually benefit them? And does it help attract new patients directly?
Right.
You know, and those are the things that I would say before I would need something that I'm spending money on to really answer yes to the vast majority of that first question, those subcomponents of that.
Yeah.
Kind of make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Did I do pretty well there?
Yeah. I think another thing about attracting new patients directly and touching the customers would be hiring another dentist.
Right.
When you're looking for an associate, hiring somebody who has a lot of Invisalign background or a lot of cosmetics and they're known for that.
That would be what we call a unicorn.
Yeah. That would help bring in new patients.
In the associate world, we would call that a unicorn. That's
Some experience is better than none, right?
Absolutely. Well, if you're given a choice.
Yeah.
Right. I would argue that even an assistant or a hygienist that's come out of an office that has those experiences would be good. As long as they're not a member of the ADHA.
Yeah, we'll touch on that one a little bit later because that might not touch the customer directly.
Right, exactly.
So we'll get started and move on to the next one. Will the money I spend improve efficiency that matters?
That's a great topic. You know, I think I misunderstood when I talk about I'm not super focused on efficiency in the practice. And, you know, I just don't find efficiency to be that big of a thing on most of the things that we do in dentistry. And what I really mean by that is, I'll give you a great example, okay? Yeah. Probably about 15 years ago, it's dating myself a little bit, there used to be these things called plasma light curing light, and they would cure composite in 3 seconds. Versus
what happened to them?
I think they were exploding teeth or something. I don't know. But versus 10 to 20 seconds.
Right.
Okay. And the thing was, people were out there, some very famous people in dentistry were out there saying, this thing saves me an entire 4 hours a year, 5 seconds at a time.
Right.
So the real question I have when it comes to efficiency, you know, when I talk about efficiency is, does it actually make me schedule differently?
Right. You didn't start scheduling your appointments for 55 minutes instead of an hour.
Well, not even 55 minutes. It'd be 59 minutes and 30 seconds versus 60 minutes, right?
Right. You just spent more time in hygiene.
Right. Or I spent more time sitting in front of my computer.
Yeah.
Right. So when we start looking at efficiencies, you know, efficiencies are important. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me when I say that. Efficiencies are important, but efficiency has to result in a change in the way you schedule treatment. Okay. So that technology, for example, I'll give you a simple example. I switched from a Teufelmeyer matrix in 2001 to those rings and bands, and it improved efficiency, but it also improved clinical outcome. So while it didn't make, you know, Teufelmeyer's are pretty quick and easy in the, you know, compared to these rings and bands in the beginning, but I had more predictability. I had more consistency. So that was a great investment. So I would tell somebody that's using Teufelmeyer matrices, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I know what you're talking about.
The thing, you know, that we squeeze around the tooth.
Twist.
This was when you had the metal one. You haven't even seen that.
No, I have seen one. I didn't know what it was for, but I've seen one.
You're so spoiled, Meredith.
I've used the disposable one.
Yeah, those are not that bad with the little thing. But, you know, something like that is a good investment.
Right.
You know, that makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, I know somebody you're listening, you're like, well, God, that, of course, that's, it's like $4,
right?
You know, compared to $3. But so let's take a look at that. Does, for example, a microscope, and I have a microscope, okay?
Yeah, and you love it.
And I love it, right?
Spoiled. High maintenance. Here we are.
Here we go again. High maintenance. But does the microscope, does it improve efficiency that matters? And the answer is probably no.
Right.
Now, maybe you're at a point where luxury spend is okay, but maybe you're not at that point. Right. And I would argue that 80% of people listening are not at that point.
Probably not a necessity.
It's not a necessity, right?
Yeah.
So we have to kind of think of these things in that way that, you know, is it improving an efficiency that matters? You know, are we going to schedule differently that? You know, another part I would look at is, you know, another part I would think about there is this, if I spend X money on X, will it help me do more procedures that I like to do? So for example, I'm thinking way out of the box here, just trying to give examples. Is if I could get something that would cut my filling time in half, so I had more time to do implants, would that be a worthwhile investment for me?
Yes.
Absolutely, right?
Right.
You know, but if, would I be interested in cutting my filling time in half to do more fillings?
No.
I get it. Maybe that makes money, but that's not really moving me in the direction that I want to move
right
now. Do you have an example of something in this category?
Types of procedures you want to do. So for a team, it would be, you know, if you wanted to hire an assistant who hadn't been trained in a specific procedure versus a team member who had already done a specific procedure.
Yeah.
Sleep, ortho. Yeah,
great. Like if you were in, you know, and this is this is one that I really struggled with early in my career, and probably until about 4, 5, 6 years ago, and you might agree until now is I would have a tendency to look for a inexperienced assistant because they cost less versus looking for somebody that may have been $5, $6, $7, $10 more, but they came with experience in areas that could help my practice, right?
Right.
So I think that's a super important point to bring up is when it comes to that. Now, along the same line of team members, another thing I would look at is, if I spend money on X, is it more reliant on the doctor or the team member? Mm-hmm. So in other words, for example, I'm going to use the microscope as an example, okay? And again, I like microscopes, okay? If I buy a microscope, is it helping my assistant really?
None.
Not really, right? Somebody can argue, oh, your assistant has, because they make microscopes where the assistants can look into.
I just want to see the two of you guys doing that.
But it doesn't really help. In fact, I would argue
it blocks it a little bit.
I would argue that it makes the practice more reliant on me. Mm-hmm. Or let's use this as an example. Let's say I'm going to, and this goes into the mindset of when you purchase something. Let's say I'm going to buy a CEREC machine, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm buying it for me to use.
Yes,
that's not
helping.
Well, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not. You got to go into it with the mindset of minimizing the dependence on the dentist.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand that as well as I want them to understand that. Is so much about what we're doing is about minimizing the need for us. Because I hear it all the time I hear it so much from dentists, and I heard it from myself so much, was that I just feel like I can't leave the office. I feel like the office doesn't survive.
The operatory even sometimes.
It doesn't operate without you, right? So whose fault is that?
Right? Yours.
At the end of the day, that was my fault because I kept doing things or adding things, and I kept putting more and more on my own plate because of the decisions I was making or the mindset behind those decisions.
Yeah. So I think a good example of that would be with the CEREC, like you said, if you were going to buy a CEREC, you know, and for the doctor to use, yes, that's going to improve your efficiency, but you can train your assistant to design those crowns. Mm-hmm. It may take a little bit longer, especially in the beginning.
Right.
It may not be perfect every single time, but that gives you the freedom to do other things, the operatory, to start another patient, to see hygiene exams, and come back stress-free, still moving forward with the procedure.
I'll use the example you talked to me about earlier is my implant restorations.
Yeah.
Like, am I faster at doing them? Sure.
Yeah.
But now I don't have to touch them.
Right.
Whitney does them all. She sends me, she takes her phone and she sits there on the computer and she takes a video of moving it around and she says, is this approved?
Yeah.
And I say, yes or no. Or I say, make this change, make that change. Or I say, no, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that's, to me, that's efficiency that matters.
Right.
You know, that's really efficiency that matters. So, you know, that really goes into the mindset. So marketing, you know, marketing is a tough one with efficiency. Mm-hmm. Marketing, I would look at, is it moving me towards the practice I want? Because this is a good one on marketing, is if someone came to me and said, I'm going to get you more general dentistry patients, what would I say to them?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, right? Because I take enough insurances
thank
where
you,
that's,
but no, thank
that's
you.
Covered, right?
Yeah.
But if somebody came to me and said, hey, we're going to get you some more patients with sleep, I would say, okay, that's an efficiency that matters. And here's why I say that. You know, I use this example in a lot of my lectures, is every sleep appliance I do is 15 fillings I don't have to do.
Yeah.
So to me, that there's a level of efficiency there, right? So if we can do something like that, that makes me more efficient in the sense that I can do less dentistry, I can see one sleep patient or 15 filling patients, that's a good investment.
Two days of work you can take off.
Pretty much.
For every sleep appointment.
Yeah, or probably a day. You know?
I shouldn't tell you that, though.
I'm going to work a little bit less. Yeah. So I think that covers efficiency that matters pretty well.
Yeah.
So what were the things we've covered so far, Meredith?
So far we've talked about the money you spend touch your customers, and will the money you spend improve efficiency that matters?
Good.
So the last question we have is, will the money I spend actually generate revenue?
Yeah, this is obviously a super important
the most important, right? For business, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would argue that even in personal life, you know, does it actually make
pay the bills?
You know, and I want to say
give you a life.
You know, I want to say this on in regards to this is, you know, so often we talk about return on investment. Mm-hmm. Like I put 50 grand out of my pocket. I need to get this. But I think there needs to be a return on investment on the risk
right.
that you take. Yeah, I put $10,000 down, but I borrowed 100 grand.
Right.
So should I, my return on investment should be based on the risk I take, because if it doesn't go right, I'm on the hook
for that money.
For that 100 grand, right? Yeah. So the return on investment is not just the direct cash spend, but also the spend the that you
value.
Make on the risk
yeah.
and the debt that you take on. So I think we should, borrowing money should provide a return mm-hmm. because you're taking a risk. You're putting money on the line. And I said it, I think, a few episodes ago, I am not a fan of borrowing money beyond the useful life of a piece of equipment. So if we know, for example, that a piece of technology will change every 5 years, then don't finance it for more than five years.
Right.
You know, a car.
That's
you know, and I'm starting to see
best example.
And this is kind of on the personal and mm-hmm. business side of things. I don't think a car lasts more than 5 years. You know, a useful life of a car today is 5-6 years. Don't finance it for more than that. And we're starting to see 84 months and crazy stuff.
They're
right?
just trying to get you to buy them. They'll do anything.
Well, not even
they're
that,
making it affordable.
Well, they're making it affordable so that you will spend more.
The price is going up.
Because you can make it, instead of 60-month payments, we got 84 months. Yeah. And now I can buy a $30,000 car at 60 months, or I can buy a $40,000 car at 84 months,
right.
and the payments are the same. And so the same thing, you know, when I talk to people about technology and they go, oh, we'll finance it out. My bank said they'll finance it out for 10 years. I'm like, dude, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because that technology is probably not going to last 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I'll say about a microscope. That thing has lasted me 15 years
yeah.
and it hasn't changed.
No, because the technology of a microscope will never change.
It's glass, you
yeah.
know. So you know, that's a good thing. So, you know, when we look at actually generating revenue, the first thing I look at is new procedures. First
yeah.
and foremost, it's the most, and this is not mm. what I looked at when I first started.
Right.
But what's most important to me today is, if I spend money on X, will it generate new revenue in new procedures?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if somebody came to me and said, hey, we can sell you this piece of equipment and it's going to allow you to add sleep apnea to your practice,
mm-hmm.
I would be very interested in that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we already do sleep.
Yes.
So, somebody listening, don't try to sell me something
yeah.
like that. But if somebody.
But a home sleep study.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's yeah. the first step to adding something to your practice,
right.
a new procedure to your practice. So that's one of the things I look at. Will it generate revenue directly? Is on new procedure. Then there's the thought of, well, I need to invest in the infrastructure.
Yeah.
So now this may come to something like new chairs
mm-hmm.
in your practice. You know, so new chairs, do you really need them?
Right.
You know, are the chair, like, for example, I spent a lot of money last year
yeah.
on new chairs / treatment centers in my practice. I love them. Super happy with them.
Makes your life a little bit easier.
That's correct.
But does it directly?
Are patients noticing the difference?
Right.
They notice it's cleaner. It's nicer.
Yeah.
But they didn't think we had junky stuff to begin with.
Right. They have no idea that it has an implant motor built into the chair. They have no, you know, they don't care if you're going to bring out an implant motor or not.
But I was to the point where I was able and ready to spend on luxury items.
Right.
Whereas somebody right now, I would say, maybe that's not your first place that you spend the money.
Yeah.
Maybe where you spend the money first is something that brings new procedures into your practice, something that patients will notice, something that will make you more efficient in areas that matter,
yeah.
something, things along that line.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think, what were you telling me earlier about the consult room?
Oh, we recently redid our entire office. So the consult rooms are one of the first things done. And then we did the actual chairs and the operatories. But, you know, a patient will come in and sit in the consult room and they're sitting in a $100 chair and they're like, oh, it's so beautiful in here. It's so nice in here.
And I may have spent like a couple of $1,000s in the whole room.
Right. If that.
Right.
I mean, it was like peel and stick wallpaper. Like we painted some furniture we already had. It looks beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But it's nothing compared to the chairs and the operatories, right? They get into the operatory and they're like, Okay. It just looks like a regular dental office, you know? They don't notice anything.
They have no idea they're sitting in a Mercedes, do they?
No, no idea. They don't even know there's massages there.
Right. I know. That's our own fault, but to be quite honest with you.
It's the start of what they think about in our practice, right, too.
So, you know, your point in that was, and I love that point, by the way, was that spending money in the consult room is an oft-overlooked aspect.
For sure.
Bathroom.
Waiting rooms.
Waiting areas.
Yeah.
Although now that's a car.
Yeah.
But
depends how nice your car is.
Your front office area.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the first.
The quality of your sneeze guard.
Yeah. Hey, ours are nice. Sometimes I just think a lot of that area, because it's not clinical, is really overlooked, but that's the patient's first experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even, you know, the person you have up front, that's their first experience. That's who they talk to on the phone. That's who they meet and see when they get there. That's who talks them through everything. And we just think so much about the clinical side. And once people are in for the clinical work, that you've sold that. Like, they're already
like
ready.
I'm pretty sure I could have wooden pegboards
back there.
Yeah. For chairs.
Right.
Like I could have 2x4s with chairs, and I think patients would still come in. They might be freaked out a little
because
bit.
Because we have nice bathrooms. Right.
But I think that's a fair point that you make is we spend so much money and time on things that really only matter once they become patients.
Right.
But we often overlook the things that help people become patients.
Yeah.
And that really matters. So infrastructure is nice. Amenities are nice. But do they really generate revenue?
Yeah.
You know, for example, I wanted to get hot towel warmers. Mm-hmm. We're only talking about a few $100 things, right?
Right.
But for me, that's no big deal, a few $100s. Right. But some people, for some of our listeners, a couple hundred bucks matters.
Yeah.
You know, does that actually generate revenue? Can I charge for that hot towel?
No.
Yeah. I take your MetLife. For God's sake, you should give me a hot towel for taking your MetLife, you know? So those are kind of some of the things that, you know, that I'm talking about when you invest in your practice. One area that I'm really looking at very closely is digital impression scanners,
mm-hmm,
and how I think, and I'm going to get in a little bit of trouble for talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I think is, as a profession, we're missing the opportunity with a digital impression scanner. And I think the first company that gets out there and stops marketing them as a doctor assistant device and starts creating something and marketing it as a hygienist or hygiene room,
mm-hmm,
device is going to make an impact. Because, you know, we have digital impression systems. We have a different one in the so hygiene. We have a hygiene version, and then we have doctor assistant versions.
Right, but you every know, operatory has a scanner.
We're pretty close to having every operatory have a scanner now. And the difference is the needs of a hygienist from a diagnostic and case presentation side is very different than the need of the dentist from a restorative or clinical treatment side. And we're moving into that era. You know, I've got my eyes on something right now that I think is going to change the game of how we do our hygiene visits and exams that may make photography irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a two-for-one.
Yeah, you know, for someone like me who's built my career around photography, whether it's speaking and training and with patients, you know, to me to be able to say that, you know, maybe we don't need photography.
And it would save time, too.
And it would save time, and it would attract patients. So I think that's always important.
Yeah, and one more thing about the generating the revenue is investing in your team.
Yes, of course.
So if you're sending... If you're hiring new team members, looking for those team members that do have experience in procedures that you don't offer, or investing in the team members you already have, sending them to CE, are you sending them to that CE to implement a new procedure in your office? That's going to create more revenue.
Yeah. And my argument back to you, Meredith, on that is you shouldn't attempt to implement any new procedures without your team training.
Right.
I mean, we see it all the time in a few of our classes where the doctor comes alone and without question, 98% of them say, I really should have brought my assistant or my team members with me. And it's across the board. It's not just about sleep or implants or whatever it may be. It's across the board that offices that properly invest in team members, hopefully at training through 3D dentists.
Yeah, right.
but other places as well, we know that they do better.
Right.
And it investing in CE for team members, does it touch your customers? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because trained team members treat your customers well.
Right.
They are a direct reflection of who you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it improve efficiency? Anything that can get you out of the way and put the load on other people,
right.
no offense, people that make less than me,
yeah.
That's always good for business, right? And does it actually generate revenue? I mean, what does Liz generate? What does, Megan generate at this point? What does Whitney generate for me? An ortho assistant. Yeah. All these things, what do they generate in the practice? And so it creates that ownership mentality. So I think we've covered that stuff pretty well there. So what are the three questions, Meredith?
The three questions that you should ask yourself before spending any money is, will the money I spend touch my customers? Will the money I spend improve efficiency that matters? And will the money I spend actually generate revenue?
So that's another episode for this week.
Yes. If you guys will leave us a review, if you have any questions, you can go to www.asktbone.com. If you have any questions about 3D, you can email me at meredith@3d-dentist.com. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. And one last thing. Facebook community.
Yes.
3d-dentist.com/community.
All these people have already joined, but haven't.
I know for a fact they haven't. Here's why I know, because we have more listeners of our podcast than we do members of our Facebook forum. So please do join our group, and we look forward to seeing you for next week's episode.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.